From the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you with us today as we spend 15 minutes around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need. And this is Leslie Curran saying hello and welcome to the program. It's good to have you joining us today as the Reverend Ivan Foster, retired minister of Kilskerry Free Presbyterian Church, is with us to let the Bible speak.
Hello and welcome to our broadcast. Those of you who listened in last week know that I began a study, which is timely given this season of the year, entitled, Why Was the World So Hostile to the Coming of the Son of God? We noted that chief amongst the reasons why the Saviour was despised of men was the fact that He was God. Men and women, this world, its population, its peoples, its nations, are at war with God. The Apostle says that we are enemies of God by nature. Now, the rejection of the Lord Jesus 2,000 years ago stemmed from ignorance. You see, He was not known to the people to whom He came. The world knew not that He was its creator and preserver. John chapter 1, the verses 10 and 11 say, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. He was not known when He was born. There was none to recognize Him, except very few. He was not known during His life. He was not known during His ministry, except by very few. He was not known in His death, except again by very few, and those to whom it was wonderfully and miraculously revealed, like the centurion who stood at the cross and observing what happened at the time of our Saviour's crucifixion, said, Surely this was the Son of God. The Lord Jesus was not received by His own. Those who were His own nation did not know Him. Those to whom the prophets had revealed again and again throughout hundreds and hundreds of years that the Messiah would come and painted innumerable pictures of His character, where He was born, of whom He would be born, etc., etc. They did not know Him. They did not receive Him. They did not welcome Him. They had those privileges that I've mentioned, the privileges of the prophecies. They had also the privileges of the demonstration of His power, the evidence of His love and mercy. But still they did not know Him. He was challenged. In Mark chapter 11, verse 28, we read, They said unto Him, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? These things were acts of mercy, acts of kindness, acts of love. But they couldn't see who it was that was doing such things. When He did tell them who He was, they refused to believe Him. Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And He said unto them, If I tell you, you will not believe Me. Luke chapter 22, the verse 67. Then they said unto Him, Who art thou? Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Matthew 8:25. So, the Saviour must have repeatedly indicated who He was from the very beginning of His ministry, both by word of mouth and by deed. But they did not believe Him. The word receive is repeated in John chapter 1, the verses 11 to 12. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. That word received means to take with a hand in order to use. The hands of men were not outstretched to receive the Lord Jesus, but they pushed Him away rather than welcoming Him. Listen to Peter. Him, that's Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Acts chapter 2, verse 23. Calvary marked the final rejection of the Saviour by his ancient people. But the rejection of Christ continued. Forever the gospel was preached. The men Christ sent forth into the world by that great commandment, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark chapter 16, verse 15, were received as was their master. They were treated despicably. Paul said of the treatment that he and the other apostles had received, we are fools for Christ's sake, but we are despised even unto this present hour. We both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labour, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscourings of all things unto this day. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13. These men, so treated, came with the message of life. They came to point men to heaven and eternal bliss, but they were treated as criminals and miscreants. Why? Because of the message they preached and the one whom they served. The Saviour had warned them, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. John 15, verses 18 to 19. Those of us who try to point out that the activities that take place at this time of the year bear no resemblance to the gospel story set forth in the Scriptures are mocked and called killjoys. We encounter just a little of what the men of God in former times endured for preaching the gospel. Over the ages of time, the rejection of Christ not only brought about the dreadful events of Calvary, but numerous multitudes have paid the price of faithfulness to Christ with their lives. However, let me end on a happier note. Those who do welcome Christ are marvelously changed. So said John, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. The mercy of God was not in vain. Not everyone rejected the gospel message and refused the mercy extended to them by the Saviour. There were those who received and believed in him. Please consider with me the change that takes place when a person receives Christ, for change there most certainly is. Just after I was converted, I learned the little hymn which says it all. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roll since Jesus came into my heart. This is gloriously true, men and women. This change is called a new birth. The Lord Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 3. The new birth marks new spiritual life within and the beginning of new life, a new person. Paul wrote those famous words, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is no surface change. Conversion does not mean a new coat of paint. It does not mean a turning over of a new leaf, which is what I and other pupils in our day in school did when we blotted ink on our exercise book. No, this is a change within and without. Here is how the Lord stated the matter in ancient times. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 11:19-20. The changed person becomes a walking example of God's law. The one who is thus born again has a heavenly nature imparted to them. They become the sons and daughters of God. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Romans 8:16. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, that is, they do not sin habitually, do not make a habit of sinning, so that sinning is seen to be their way of life. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. 1 John 3:9-10. Thus the true believer lives separate from the ways of the world, and is not of this world. Those thus born have a glorious hope before them. True Christian has the wonderful comfort of Christ's company in life. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Hebrews 13:5. But even better, he will be with us at journey's end. How often we sing those words of David without really considering what they are saying. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23:4. Our broadcast is over. Do you have this hope within you? Does the birth of Christ mean more to you than a mere occasion for partying and carousing? Rather has it brought to you that which the angels heralded to the shepherds. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to you and all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Luke 2:10-14. What is interesting is the response of the shepherds to those heavenly words. They said, Let us go now, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. My friend, act like the shepherds. That which the Lord has made known unto you, investigate now. Receive Christ as your Saviour today. God bless you, and goodbye.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. If we can be of any further spiritual help, or if you'd like to receive some free gospel literature, we invite you to make contact with us. The literature is entirely without obligation, and has but one aim, that of helping you understand more clearly God's way of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, if you'd like to receive it, do send an email to info@ltbs.tv. If you have any further questions regarding how you can be saved and know your sins forgiven, do send us an email at that same address. We're your servants for Christ's sake, and we'll count it a great privilege to give you counsel from God's Word so that you'll be able to say truly, It is well with my soul. So do remember our email address, info@ltbs.tv. Thank you for listening today. May the Lord richly bless you. And don't forget to tune in on this same station at the same time next week, when once again we turn to the Scriptures and let the Bible speak.